This is Reverend Lionel Smith, pastor of New Scholar Baptist Church. We are a church that is working towards acquiring the mind of Christ. Sit back and listen to the message already in progress.
Finger, love. Lord, yes, he is.
Bye.
put your hands together.
It was great.
Father, we thank you right now for your word. We thank you for this time that we have come together to share in the word of God. We ask that you move in this place, heal, deliver, and set free. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
First off, let's give all the fathers in the building a hand. Thank God for them today. Me, myself, we honor you today, for today is your day. Again, we thank God that it's you Sunday, all the youth who showed up, we thank God for you, for
yes,
what you have presented to the Lord. We thank God on your behalf. Let's move in the word real quickly. I won't be long. I understand that today is Father's Day, and you may have celebrations planned later on and may want to take your old man out to eat or something. So I'm going to do my part and get out the way and allow the day to take care of itself. I believe there's a word from the Lord this morning. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter. And we'll begin reading at verse 30. I apologize for the simplicity of the text, but I believe God is going to say something this morning.
Amen.
Luke, the 10th chapter, we'll begin reading at verse 30. Would everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
And the Bible reads as this in verse 30. And Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side of the road. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor? I'm going to read that again if y'all don't mind. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You may be seated.
Amen.
Real briefly and quickly, as we peruse through the word of God, and he then says what he has to say on this morning. I dare to start off this text and the question was posed to Jesus, or rather Jesus posed the question at the end of this text. He says, and who is the better neighbor? Who is the better neighbor? The question that a lot of times we have when we preach this, or when we talk about this, or when we share this, we change the text. We change it, and we ask the question that was not asked. The question was asked, who was the better neighbor? Sometimes we ask the question, who is the better Christian? That was not the question that was asked. He never asked who was the better Christian. He asked who was the better neighbor. But that's the way we internalize things. We see things the way we see it, and we ask the question, who is the better Christian? When we're explaining this text, we explain it in a way of understanding who is the better Christian. And when we look at it through those lenses, we have a tendency to perform in church.
My God.
When I look at it through those lenses, we teach it, and we have a tendency to perform in church, because when the question becomes who is the better Christian and not who is the better neighbor, then my act in church makes all the difference. I hope I ain't making you mad already. My act in church makes all the difference. So now I got to come to church and put on and act like who I'm not, because I'm trying to answer a question that was never asked. So what we do when we be a deacon is we learn how to pray. And the best deacon can pray the best. But his life is a mess. Because we oppose the question of who is the better Christian and not who is the better neighbor. So because the question is who is the better, we come to church and we perform, we put on, and we wear facades and masks because we're trying to be the better Christian. And the question is, who's not the better Christian? Jesus poses the question at the end. He says, who is the better neighbor? It'll make you evaluate church and look at it differently when you figure out who is the better neighbor and not who is the better Christian. Who is the better neighbor is the most important question, which leads to my Christianity. Then I become the better Christian when I'm an excellent neighbor. Did I clarify that up? I wanted to clarify that up before we go into the text, because the text starts off strange. The Bible says, and please hear me, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. I won't get into his state of condition. I won't talk about that. The Bible makes it clear on how he was and how what happened to him affected him. But what I will do, because in the text that we read today, again, we rush. Please, because somebody may be waiting on me to get to that part right now. Where the Bible says that the priest came that way. So somebody may already have jumped ahead of me and decided that what he going to say about the preacher who came that way and looked. And we miss a whole important fact about the text, trying to look at the preacher and not look at ourselves. That's what we are in church today, that we can do anything we want to do in the pew as long as the preacher don't do anything wrong. Y'all follow me so far? Because I'm going somewhere, because we quick to jump to the priest. But there's a whole lot happened before the priest ever showed up. Because there's a party in this story who never gets addressed. And that's the people who wounded him. That's the thieves who beat him and left him half dead. Oftentimes, we do Christianity a disservice because we teach you how to be a Christian spiritually and never to be a person morally. Do y'all understand where I'm going? We teach you how to be a Christian and all the Christian things and all the Christian things. And you say this when you do this, and this how you do that. And when you come before people, you do that. And we teach you all that, but we never show you anything morally. These boys who were on side the road, they needed to be preached to also, because they had a bad outlook on life. They decided that what was yours was theirs. That's not how life works. That's not how life works. We have to teach our young people in the text. We have to teach them to grow up and learn that when you work for what you got, you feel better about yourself. It might feel good at the moment to take what somebody's, but in the long run, and when it come back to you, it don't feel so good. I'm rushing through the text. It don't feel good. It feel good when you on that end of it, but when you find yourself on the other end of it, it don't feel so good. And we've got to learn to teach the morality of the gospel and not just the spirituality of the gospel. They jumped on him, beat him, left him half dead, wounded him, all because they wanted what he had. Didn't want to work for it themselves. Want to take what belonged to somebody else. Took his stuff, left him half dead. Now let's get to the meat of this. Because the Bible says, when he's now in this condition, when he's now broken and when he's now hurt, when he's now half dead, when he's on side of the road and nobody to help him, the Bible says, and now here comes a priest. Now, I'm not entertained by who he is. The priest part really don't connect to me. It really doesn't bother me because I think that is irrelevant, who he was. More relevant is what he did.
Amen. Right.
See, relevant who he was. What's relevant is what he did. Bible says that when the priest came by, watch this. The Bible says that he saw him. But what he did was he passed by on the other side. Please watch this. He passed by on the other side and said also when he passed by, he went and looked at it. But he passed by on the other side. We got to find out what's going on. We got to find out what's happening in the text. We got to find out why these two people passed by on the other side. Because I think it's a revelation about the other side that's going on in this text. I mean, if you go look at him, and then you get yourself and go to the other side, it must be something about the other side. Do y'all follow me in the text? It must be something about the other side that's jumping out of the text. But that's how we live. Watch this. We let the road separate us. We let journeys separate us. Y'all follow what I'm saying? See, if you don't do it my way, if you don't do it the way I thought you should do it, my thinking is the right thinking, we let that road separate us. A journey separate us. There are things that separate us. I said this and I preached before and I preach it again. The Bible says that we must be on one accord. Y'all follow me? Say when the church gets together and we be on one accord, say, whatever. Watch this, though. But we done got foolish in church. We don't know what one accord means. Can I share it with you? We don't know what one accord means, so we're stuck letting journeys separate us because we have no idea what one accord means because one accord don't mean you do what I do.
Well said.
Just mean you think what I think when it's time to think it. Do y'all follow me? Because I'm finna help the church. One accord don't mean you do what I do. So we confused in the church because if somebody ain't down with us, they not on one accord with us because we've got this idiotic thinking that go on that you got to do what I do. To be on one accord with me. I shared this other day and I shared again. There are some things that I do in my house that you don't do. Some things you do in your house, I don't do. But that don't mean when we get to church on Sunday morning, we can't believe God for the same thing. Can I go a little deeper? You may not wear your hair like I wear mine. It won't grow no more. But... But if you hold me hostage to something that don't matter, and we can't come together and get on one accord for other things that don't matter, and you're holding the one accord of the church hostage because I won't listen to the music you listen to. Oh, you don't like my suit. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're laughing, but church functions this way. A
because I don't like what you wear to church, and I don't like how you wear your hair, I don't like your dress, then I'm held hostage. Our one accord is held hostage for things that don't matter, because you're looking for me to be down with you. And the Bible never told me to be down with you. Husbands and wives ain't down with each other. Don't. And you. And we use this other side of the road mentality to hold the church hostage. Yeah. And just like in the text, nothing is ever getting done. Because everybody's on the other side of the road. Talking about stuff that don't even matter. Putting the road between us with stuff that don't even matter. It don't matter what she do in her house and what I do in my house. It really don't matter. Long as it ain't sin and long as... You got to take your mind and throw it away and get his mind. Once then I have the mind of Christ, we can't help but be on one accord. I can't help but see your need when I got the mind of Christ. I can't help but see the condition you in. That's why he could go up to him and look at him and still pass on the other side of the road, because what he was looking at didn't look like him.
That's it. That's right. Oh, you're right.
Look around. How many people in church look like you? Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. I say, how many people in church look like you? You think I'm talking about physically? How many people went through what you went through? How many people suffer the things that you suffer? But when you just optic and you haven't become spiritual, you look at things just through carnal eyes, and everything different bothers you. Everything different bothers you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If something happened funny in church and the program don't go like it always go, it bothers you.
Yeah, you're right.
And the spirit may be in full effect.
That's right.
And moving.
That's right.
But you so optic, you going, now it's supposed to be the hymn of preparation. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Because we become so rigid and optic, and we think the spirit then is this. And we allow something so trivial to become a role in between us. And you'll go home mad and angry and say, I just don't understand why they ain't follow the program. That ain't God. That ain't God. And if you really had an understanding of what God is, it'll be on fire here every Sunday.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm almost done. Leaving him half dead. Priest and the Levite. Watch this. Both looked on him. One went by on the other side of the road, didn't even look. Levite came and looked on him. Went back on the other side of the road. Watch this, because I don't want to deal with the story like you normally understand it. Because the Bible says, here come a Samaritan. And I don't want to deal with Samaritans and who they were and how different they were from the priest and the Levite and all of that. But I just want to show you that here comes the Samaritan. And when he sees the man, the Bible says he begins to do things to help him, to anoint and pour in oil and wine on his wounds and to help him and to do all of these things. And now I want to kind of talk to the fathers. Pour wine in him. as an antiseptic for his wounds. Took him to the end. This verse loaded, y'all. Took him to the end. Told the man at the end, say, here he is. I helped him the best I could. Let him lay here a while and let him heal. And when I come back another day, if you had to do anything greater than I did, I'm going to pay you for your labor. Men, we have a hard time dealing with one another. How can I say this? There's something in me, and I'm just telling the truth. Hope this don't bother. Well, it don't matter. There's something in me that will allow me to become close to him. But then there's something else in me that's guarded when I get too close to him. Y'all don't follow me. I don't mind getting together with you as long as I feel comfortable. But the moment I become uncomfortable as a man, I have to move away from you. What makes me uncomfortable is what y'all think about how close I am with him. Are y'all following what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say it up here. Okay, y'all ain't got it. Okay, I'll use this as an illustration. I had a friend of mine that I was walking through the mall with one day, and he, oh God, he is a man, but he is a no, I don't mean he is a not a real masculine man. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Now, when he called me on the phone, I said he was a man. I ain't say nothing funny was about him. I just said he wasn't a masculine man. And when he called me on the phone and he said, do you want to go to the mall with me? I said, for sure. I never thought anything about anything other than just accompanying my brother to the mall. Nothing ever crossed my mind. Nothing was going through my mind. But yeah, let's go. It was when we got to the mall. You follow me? And we were walking through the mall, and still I didn't have them just walking. I wasn't thinking nothing. We just walking and talking, probably talking about the Bible and sharing scriptures. We just walking and talking, and all of a sudden I looked around and people was looking at us like this. All of a sudden, my friend, a man, nothing was on my mind. When I looked around and saw everybody kind of looking like, ooh, I got self-conscious. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that part about me that didn't mind loving a man, I became guarded. And whereas we was walking like this, I took a step over this way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because what I allowed the opinions of them to create a role. Of separation between me and my friend. Now, we were friends in the mall, and when we left, we were still friends, but he didn't know. That I had let a road in between us. Men, that's what we do because we don't know how. But the funny thing is, and I want to share this with you, isn't it crazy that we operate with each other like that? That's the first thing hit our mind, that we can be close, but we can't be too close. We have to be guarded. But isn't it crazy that when God was in heaven, who we look at as a he, the Bible refers to him as a he, God who was in heaven, when he decided to make something that he loved, that would worship him, that would honor him, and that would adore him, when God sit down and drew a plans and he come down in the dust and he formed something, is it crazy how I just can't get as close to you, but when God wanted to have something close to him, he made a he? Is that too deep for somebody? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that I can come to you and pass by on the other side of the road and not feel nothing, but when God wanted something to feel and somebody to worship him and somebody to show him how much he loved him, he made a he?
Sir.
And watch this. I'm talking to the men for a little while. Y'all don't mind because I'm going somewhere in the text. And the church is not going to function. I'm not discarding y'all, sisters, but I'm talking to the men. The church not going to function until he can love he again. Without being guarded. Because I don't want to deal with the Samaritan and make it look like he was anything different from the priest and the Levite. I don't want to make you think that because the priest and the Levite went on the other side of the road, they were some kind of way different from me. Because the truth be told, I'm just like the priest. I'm him. I am him. Because I don't get in everything I see. And you don't either. You might sit there and look like you do, but you don't get in everything you see. Some folk got a testimony that's why you alive, because you know it was finna jump off, and you got in your car and left. Because we don't get in everything we see. We don't jump in every fight that happened. We don't get in everything we see. We're not unlike the priest who just went on the other side of the road. Sometimes we see situations happening, and we go the other way. Because we really are no different from him. That's what we do. We go on the other side of the road. But what the Samaritan did that was so different. Y'all, please follow me. From the priest and the Levite was that he understood one thing. The road makes us and not separates us. I'm going to go deeper with that. The road is what makes us and not separates us. I'm going to say it one more time. The road is what makes us and not separates us. Almost done. How is it? Because I think this is really the problem of the priest and the Levite. How is it that you can travel every day? How is it that you can walk up and down the road every day? How is it that life and day after day you travel and travel day after day? How is it? How is it that moment after moment? Last week you were out here. This week you're here. Something happened between Sunday and Sunday in your life. Something happened. Good or bad, something happened. Argument here, argument there, something you had to fix. Something happened between this Sunday and last Sunday, watch this, that made you better. Follow me. Something happened between, I'm talking about just this week, between this Sunday and last Sunday, something happened in your life that you can reflect back on that made you better. Well, let me put it like this. Something happened in your life that made you realize you were better now than you were, because you handled that situation different than what you would have. Y'all follow me? Something happened in your life that did that. All of that that goes on week to week, day to day in your life becomes your journey. It becomes your road. It becomes your journey. It becomes your path. The problem is in church that we have people who are just walking zombies in church. We're finna get out of here. We're finna get out of here. And you're so caught up with the act of performing to see who is the better Christian that you've lost the idea of who is the better neighbor. So you come to church and all church is and is an act and you're putting on, but you just become a zombie to the spirit. And you have no clue, we have no clue on how the spirit operates because we are zombies to this program that we've set in our minds and we never see the journey. We never see the struggle of the week as a journey to learn and live and move on. So when we see people who need help, watch this. The reason why we pass by, reason why we walk away, look at the text. It ain't nothing in us to give. See, I didn't understand the priest and the Levite passing by and keep going. And then here come the Samaritan and he got everything the man need to get him on his way. That's because we live in life and not learning anything.
All right.
We live this life and we don't learn anything. So when we come across people who need our wisdom and knowledge and understanding, who need our help, we have nothing to give because ain't nothing in here. Y'all, I'm sorry, I just got to say it. So when people need you on a certain level, when people need you on a certain level, all you can do, and it ain't wrong, it's good to do, but it don't line up with the text. That's why all you can do is pray. There's nothing else in you to give. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to give. That's a good thing to give. But the problem is, ain't nothing else in you to give. So when you empty, you got to put on. Does that make sense to somebody? When you empty and want to show people you full, you got the front. When you empty and you folk think you full, you got to pass by on the other side of the road. So when we ask you, did you didn't see him? Say, no, I didn't see him. You saw him. No, I didn't see him. Because there's nothing in us. All of them are travelers up and down life's road. All of them are travelers on the journey up and down life's road. Why is it just this Samaritan had enough sense to pack, watch this y'all, what he may have needed for the journey? Y'all missed that. Because if you go into the revelation or the relevancy of the text, you understand that this road was a common road for thieves and robbers and all of that. This is a road they primarily hung out in. This is their journey that because they knew people were coming back and forth to the temple with their alms and all of that. So they always hung out on this road because they knew this was a hot spot. So you on the road, just like the Samaritan on the road, why is it that he is the only one who had enough sense, watch that, y'all better get this, to bring something for him. Because he didn't bring it for anybody else. What he loaded on his horse was for him. Why is it that you don't have what you need for you? Are y'all following me? That's why you can't help me, because you ain't got none yourself. You can't give me nothing. You ain't got nothing. That's what the thing is. And because he had some, we got to figure out how can we eradicate this idea, this thinking that we can go through life journey and not ever intake this journey and use it as a tool to help people. Please understand me, because we arguing with the young folk, arguing with them, preaching over the pulpit, That's when we do it on Sunday over the pulpit. Please hear me. It's easy to do it right here. Why they won't pull their pants up? I'm going to tell you why. That's because the folk that's older than them, who in charge of them, won't tell them to pull their pants up. But that's simple. That's why. Did I make somebody mad right then? I don't know. Because it's real simple. It is. It's real simple. I know it's simple. I lived through it. When I did something that I wasn't supposed to do, all my daddy said was, hey, get it done. And just like that, I got it done. All he had to do was tell me to do it, and I did it. It's just that simple. It is just that simple. And what I'm trying to say is the wisdom or the knowledge that we have, it's just that simple to give it. It's just that simple to give it. Just that simple to give it. I could tell you hundreds of things in life that are so simple, but it'll make you mad. Because it's simple, and we have our long debates about why this happened and why that happened and why, and the answer is simple. Because we let it happen. That's why it happened. That's why it happened. If you don't ever put oil in your car and the motor burn up, we could talk an hour about the parts that should have lasted. Do you understand what I'm saying? We could have a whole symposium on how the engine worked. But the truth of the matter, all you had to do. Because we take nothing with us. We haven't learned anything. We don't hold nothing in. All the preaching and all the thing we get Sunday after Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, all the words you get Sunday after Sunday, and still every day we walk through this life and we see people going the wrong way. And we don't say nothing. And I thought it was because you were selfish. I did. Now I know because ain't nothing in us. Ain't nothing in us. We get out every day and we become zombies in life. And all we do when the clock go off in the morning, we hit it, put on our work clothes, go to work, do 8 hours, come home and get back into bed. That's what I do. I'm not saying you, but I do it too. ...40, 50, 60 years old, and you don't have nothing to give to anybody? It isn't that they went on the other side of the road because they was running from something. They was running from the nothing they knew was in them. If I had oil and wine, I would have helped him. If I could do that, I would have helped him. But wasn't nothing in me. So I had to pass by on the other side. Let's get out of here. And when he goes to the end, he goes to the end. Watch this. And he tell the man, he say, I did what I can do. Let me pay for this. And when I come back, if I owe you anything, I'm going to give you that too. He says, this is what he said. To make you understand what he said. I hope you understand this. He said, I'm coming to church. He said, I'm bringing him to church. He said, I witnessed to him. I talked to him about the word. I delivered some things to him. And now, preacher, I'm bringing him to church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Watch this. And because I brought him to church, I want you to take care of him. And because I'm turning your ministry into a hospital, when I come back, I'm a give like it's a hospital.
That's right.
Say it well.
Because what your building was, I've turned it into something else. Watch this. So now I have to pay for something else I turned it into. because now I see things different. I'm going to clear this up in a minute and be out of here. I give offering. I give money. I give time, treasure, and all of that to the ministry. I don't give it because the church needs money. Watch this. Listen to me. I don't give it because the church needs money. I give it because the church needs you. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Okay. Okay. I don't give it per se because the church needs the lights on. That's just a natural consequence of life. We give to the church the same way the man gives to the end, because the church turned into something else besides the church. It turned into the hospital. So my donations to the church, watch this, are never for the church really, but they're for the church that's you. Because we oftentimes say the slogan, we are the church. We the church. Not just we the church, not the building, we the church. Not the, and it becomes, we say it so much, it becomes cliche. But the text makes it real, and it's no longer cliche. We are the church. So when you give to the building, you're not giving. The man never gave money to the hotel, even though he did. Y'all follow what I'm saying? He gave money to the work of the ministry. And he said, because of the work of the ministry, when I come back, whatever I owe you, I'm going to keep paying it. I'm going to keep paying it, because what I turned the place into is a hospital. What it is a hospital. Y'all keep bringing them in. Keep bringing them in. But also when you bring them in, I hope I ain't run nobody off, but also when you bring them in, you got to bring in what take care of them. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Because it looks like to me it's written in the text. And Jesus is asking the man this question through parable. And if Jesus decided to incorporate this into the text, then it must mean something. Are y'all following what I'm saying? It must mean something. It must have an avenue of thought that he incorporates this into the text. And he says, whatever I owe you, whatever I owe when I get back, I'll give you that and more if you need it. If you need it. We need it. We need it. We need it.
God bless you. We hope that this message has encouraged your heart. We invite you to come worship with us at our Sunday school service beginning at 9 a.m. Our morning worship service at 11 a.m. Bible study every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. If you would like to correspond with this ministry, you can write us at 2627 Willow Glen Road, Alexandria, Louisiana. Again, thank you, and may God bless you.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
Hey, what's up? This is Toby Mack with news of another real-life Jesus freak.
Every year, Christians are laying down their lives for Christ. Each death is a loss and a victory. As Paul wrote in Philippians, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Still, we grieved at the voice of the martyrs when we heard that on July 1st, four gunmen pushed their way into the home of Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt and shot him to death. He was a friend and a vibrant voice, sharing Christ with Muslims in Kashmir for more than 15 years. He leaves behind a wife and three children. Will you join in prayer for the family and legacy of Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt? For more, go online to persecution.com.
God bless you. We hope that this message has encouraged your heart. We invite you to come worship with us at our Sunday school service beginning at 9 a.m., our morning worship service at 11 a.m., Bible study every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. If you would like to correspond with this ministry, you can write us at 2627 Willow Glen Road, Alexandria, Louisiana. Again, thank you, and may God bless you.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 101.1. KAYT.